In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're having a little microphone trouble this morning. I had to bring my own. So wave at the back if you can't hear me. The British educationalist Sir Ken Robinson is very fond of telling the story about an elementary school teacher who was giving a drawing class to a group of six-year-old children. At the back of the class sat a little girl who normally didn't pay much attention to school. But now she was totally engrossed in what she was doing, her arms curled around the paper. Her teacher watched this, fascinated, for about 20 minutes, and then went up to the girl and said, and asked her what she was drawing. Without looking up, the little girl said, "I am drawing a picture of God." Surprised, the teacher said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." "No," said the girl, "but they will in a minute." I too love this story. It brings together two of the most wonderful things in life, the wonderful optimism and youth, creativity, exuberance of childhood and youth, and the deep, deep mystery of what God looks like. And today, as this is both Baccalaureate Sunday here at St. Francis and Trinity Sunday, we can get to celebrate both. Now, this is the closest I am ever going to get to being asked to do a commencement speech. So if you'll forgive me, I'm going to do it in that time-honored tradition and offer some advice. Four pieces of advice. And I address this to the class of 2012. But I think as most of us remember graduating from something, hopefully we can all take away something. So my first piece of advice is this. Keep your sense of wonder. Don't ever lose the sense of awe in God's creation. We have that sense as children when we're just about in awe of just about everything, and we love God unconditionally. But as we grow up and as we learn more and we come into contact with people who are supposed to be wiser than us, a certain world weariness sets in. We replace the wonder with a thin veil of understanding. We start to have an attitude of been there, done that. The beauty of a rainbow is replaced by the equations for the diffraction of light. The marvelous becomes the humdrum. But rainbows are still wondrous things and a true gift. As the singer Jack Johnson has it, rainbows are God's way of telling me that everything's going to be all right. So learn the equations, but take time to stop and wonder at rainbows. And if math really is your thing, wonder at the equations too. They're beautiful, and they're also God's gift to us. And remember, it's not only in rainbows that we can find God's glory, but everywhere. In today's reading from Isaiah, we're presented with this amazing vision of the Lord on a throne, high and lofty, with six winged seraphs flying around and calling out, "The whole world is full of his glory." Perhaps we ourselves will not be blessed with such a vision in our lifetime, but if we take a little time, a little break, we may find something else. As hymn 412, which we'll sing at the end of the service, reminds us, we can see the glory not only in earth and all stars, but in engines and steel, loud pounding hammers, classrooms and labs, and boiling test tubes. He has indeed done wonderful things. So continue to wonder, continue to marvel, and give him praise. So keep your sense of wonder, and secondly, keep seeking. Again, the more and more we become familiar with things, the more and more we can become satisfied that we know everything there is to know about something. Or worse still, we can become satisfied that what I know about something is much better than what you know about something. Both of those cases are rarely correct. A good role model to follow here is Nicodemus. In today's gospel, on the outside, reads like many other gospels. Someone comes up to Jesus, asks a question, gets a very perplexing answer, or maybe another question, and on it goes. But this is different today. It's interesting in this passage because Nicodemus already knows some of the answers. Nicodemus isn't asking what, he's asking how. Nicodemus already has knowledge. He's already a believer, but he wants to know more. So be like Nicodemus. Just because you understand something, or think you understand, keep seeking deeper and deeper answers. Who knows? One day they might lead you to something great, a Nobel Prize, perhaps. But they may also lead you to God, a prize much more valuable. So keep your sense of wonder, continue to be a seeker, and next, embrace the mysterious and the mystical. Now, I'm not talking about mystery here in the spooky sense of the word, but rather in the sense that there are limits to what we can know. As individuals, we can only do so much. We can learn so much in one lifetime, but we'll always come across the limits of our knowledge. Embrace this. Embrace also the fact that there are things that we can never understand. Mathematicians have proven that that is a fact. There are things in God's creation we simply cannot understand, however deep we dig. We can try. We can pull apart the rainbow and look at the water droplets. We can look at the water droplets and see the water molecules. We can pull apart the molecules and look at the atoms and the neutrons and the protons and the electrons and so on and so on. But the more we learn, the less we understand. Don't let this become a source of despair. It's not meant to be. First of all, it's good news. You're very unlikely to get bored. And secondly, these mysteries are just great gifts, gifts from God, as real as anything else, and as magical as the rainbow. Embrace these mysteries. If there's one thing beyond our comprehension that we mention most weeks in church, is the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Which brings me to my fourth and final piece of advice, which is this. Be blessed. Be blessed. Wherever you are and whatever you are doing, be blessed. You don't have to understand. You don't need to let yourself be blessed. You just need to be blessed. You can wrestle with the mysteries of calculus, French medieval literature, or indeed the mysteries of the Holy Trinity. And you can fail, but you can still be blessed. Beyond anything, everything, this is God's greatest gift to us. And you should keep it close all your born days. At the offertory, the choir is going to sing an anthem entitled Trinitarian Blessings. The words are wonderful, and I encourage you to listen carefully. It starts, May the sending one sing in you. May the seeking one walk with you. May the greeting one stand by you in all your gladness and grieving. Listen well and feel God's peace. So whether you graduate next week, this week, or whether you graduated years ago, let's move with a sense of wonder, a commitment to continual seeking and discipleship, a willingness to embrace the mysteries of God's creation and his love for us. And let us be open to the realization that we are always blessed. Amen.